When you golf in Missouri, the courses are so close, you'll spend more time on the fairway than the freeway. Reserve a tee time at the Regal Osage National, designed by the king himself, Arnold Palmer. Take a cart ride on the wild side in the breathtaking surrounds of Payne's Valley, designed by Tiger Woods. And after the back nine, there's still world-class dining and distilleries, shops and spas, museums and more. Find your new golf MO in Missouri. Start planning your golf getaway at visitmo.com.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It's April 23rd, 2025. I am Sean Ross Sapp. I am joined by Alex Pawlowski. We are finally at the end of the Las Vegas stretch of WrestleMania week. AEW Dynamite tonight. We're now moving on to into the new WWE year and heading into what is usually AEW's second biggest-ish pay-per-view.
Yeah,
we had AEW Dynamite tonight, and Master P, of course, joins. You big Master P guy, Alex?
I was a big fan of the No Limit Soldiers back in the day. Back when Rey Mysterio was like, yeah, I'll take my mask off and wear giant overalls. You know, that's fine.
I was going to do a make them say inspired skit where we did the infamous phone call at the beginning of the track.
No.
And I was like, yeah, Alex ain't going to know that.
I'm talking about, what was it? There was the giant guy whose finisher was the heart punch.
Swole,
that's right. Yeah.
Four by four as well.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh, 4x4. That was a big boy.
Yeah, it was.
I remember that.
He's a big dude. They had Brad Armstrong in it, I believe, briefly. Uh-huh.
Yes, briefly. But most notably, Rey Mysterio, no mask, in giant overalls. Saying,
yeah,
hooty hoo,
yeah, hooty hoo, a relatively big hit for the No Limit Soldiers.
Yeah.
But there was also Conan was in it, and Chase Tatum, who unfortunately passed away like 34, like very, very young, he passed away. But yeah, it's not a good time that, but Master P, listen, I was a big fan of Master P back in the day, The Last Dawn. Ice Cream Man had the I Got the Hookup soundtrack and never even watched the movie. Do you know how many connections there are to pro wrestling just in the make them say video, Alex?
I guess I'm not aware.
Master P at one point, don't know if he still does, owns House of Glory, but also was in WCW. Silk the Shocker is in the video. He did MVP's theme for years. AEW and WWE superstar and also nationally televised pants shitter Shaquille O'Neal was in the video.
Yes.
And during one of the first verses, there is a line that ended up being sampled by Wale and then used in the NXT 2.0 theme song years later.
Okay.
So a lot of connections there.
The chat is saying that you know ball, and I would have to concur. I would have to concur on your ball knowing. Your knowledge of ball and ball related subject, it's just off the charts.
I make myself familiar with ball. I familiarize myself with ball pretty frequently.
Lonzo, Lamar, and LaMelo.
Listen, I hate to say this because I take no great pride in this, but from the moment Lonzo was drafted, Kyler, our resident Lakers fan, knows how much I just straight up said, this man ain't going to last. It ain't going to work. Now, I could not have ever imagined a situation where, and not LaMelo, listen, LaMelo is going to be great. He's phenomenal. He's
very, very good.
But where I think the middle brother became one of the more culturally relevant of them, because listen, 13, 14-year-old Sean back at, gosh, I was probably younger than that. I was probably like 10, 11 when Master P was doing his thing. But like 10, 11, Sean Ross Sapp would be listening to the LiAngelo Ball song.
Yeah.
Familiarizing myself with ball and ball-related musics. Mm-hmm. But by God, we're here to talk AEW Dynamite. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. Let the people know that you're watching this. Share the link. All that stuff greatly helps us. I can't even begin to tell you. I'm not going to do too many plugs at the beginning of this show. What I will encourage you guys to do, check out the additional platforms that we have. We signed with TikTok. I'm working on connecting these streams to that. But Kate is going to start working on some news videos. We've got event footage, all that stuff. Instagram has a lot of that as well. On Facebook, we're going to lean out of posting links on Facebook and instead post some memes, post some exclusives, all that. And we have so much stuff on our shorts tabs now. Event footage, looks at WWE World, all that. And we have even more over at Fightful Scraps, our clips channel that goes like very, very underrated. But let's talk about AEW Dynamite tonight. Well, what'd you think about the show, Alex, in totality?
Man, some really great in-ring stuff just across the board. Some intrigue that frightens me, considering like the things that I want and what it is hinting at. But I thought a really good show coming off of last week, like basically setting up some major matches in the future, things we're working towards. I thought it was a very good, like, as non-eventful shows go, except for the main event, obviously, this was pretty great.
Manscaped plug tonight or missed opportunity. Well, we gave them a lot of opportunities from January through February to pay their bill, and they didn't do it. So there you go. We were on a verbal agreement with them, and it was never, again, no ill will. Wonderful product. Mm-hmm. Love their product. Sincerely good. I really think that if they get into wipes, they own the game, mm-hmm. so to speak. But we've been on a verbal deal with them, and they just kind of stopped paying, besides saying, hey, you know, we don't want you to do those reads anymore. Mm. So they just let us do some reads there as mm-hmm. well. Mm-hmm. But we kicked off this show with Master P. Kingslayer says pears and apples. Very clever. I like that you're still spending money on that. Which one of y'all clicked me? Says timetable for a Jay White return. TBD. There might be more to that one. I'm working on it. Okay. Any update on Buddy Matthews? I miss him a lot. I miss him a lot, too. In fact, yeah, I said too. That I missed him wrestling, and some weirdo on Twitter was like, oh, you know what you're doing here. You're saying that because of the benched accusations. And I'm like, no, we saw him roll his ankle, goofball. We saw him. Like, what are we doing here? But I really miss watching him wrestle. But I also missed Master P, one of the greatest in-ring performers and personalities of all time. He appeared with the Ops, and the Death Riders come out, try to intimidate Master P, but Samoa Joe slaps the little choke ski on the Death Riders, on Mox, and their match is made official. I did like Master P getting in the occasional shot. That was funny. There's a lot of people that don't understand Master P's cultural relevance to the city of New Orleans, and I understand that, but it was like beyond it being like, okay, he was a big rap star 25 mm-hmm. years ago. It's like he's still big in New Orleans based on what he did for a long time. So that's why he was included there, and probably move a couple tickets and stuff like that.
Yeah, I thought that him being there was a really cool thing for the city of New Orleans. They seemed to love him. It was a major deal for that. He's got that connection to wrestling, so I don't mind that at all. It wasn't like he was taking over the place or wrestling a match and going over or something. Like he should have. I mean, I don't, depending on who it was against. But this being like the Ops coming out to like, you know, take the little victory lap, and the Death Riders deciding to shut that down. And then Swerve running in at one point, the Elite. I think Swerve was the one who actually ran the Elite off, because they were in there to do some stuff too. I honestly really liked Moxley's promo on Collision last week was like, Young Bucks, I officially don't like you guys. Stay away from me. I don't want your help. I don't need your help. And then they insist on helping because they just want to make sure that, like, we get on your good side. If we help you enough, you'll have to like us. And I thought that was a good little development there. But then Swerve coming in and chasing him off. I really loved the slight interplay between Joe and Swerve. Because we got Nana leading a who's house, Swerve's house chant for a while. And then Joe starts and it's like, in regards to whose house it is, it's good to see you again, my brother. And that was it. And then we got Swerve nodding. And then he says, I'm gonna beat John Moxley for the title. And I'm bringing back my title. And the camera cuts to Swerve, who's like, yeah, your title. That's what you think. And, like, it was kind of a weird thing of like, I know I can beat you. So if you win it, good. I'm getting that next title shot. I love that there's this thing of like, there's a mutual respect between Joe and Swerve. However, that title is the most important thing. So Joe, if you get that from Moxley, I am coming for it. Good stuff.
Fid McAwesome helped us out greatly with the TikTok deal, which is, again, about to take off. You guys need to tune in to our TikTok at Fightful.com. He says,
there you go.
Lord Peter says, was I the only one praying that Angelic Marina Shafir would throw Master P a savage beating? Hopefully she got him with her truck off camera. Listen, I think that Master P was never taking a beat down in New Orleans. I don't think his image would allow that.
No.
For one.
No.
I just didn't think that was going to be the case.
No.
Kingslayer says AEW just isn't the same without the random mid-card 8-month Jericho feud. Sad face.
I mean, I did like the thing with the stuff between Bill and Brian Keith on Thursday, I guess it was last week, in Collision with Jericho gone. And I don't like that he is disappointed because I'm disappointed in him. And Brian Keith's like, no, we said we weren't going to talk about it on the air. Like, there's stuff brewing. I like that there's a little bit of stuff there where Bill seems to have had enough with Jericho's crap and Brian Keith is just trying to play peacemaker. Eventually he's going to have to make a decision and we'll see which way he chooses. It's good stuff.
So we got the patriarchy segment with Christian holding the ROH TV title over his shoulder. And he talks a little bit tough to Nick Wayne. And then Nick Wayne is giving it back to him saying, like, now you see what happens when you follow the plan. Because Nick Wayne has not let go of the fact that Christian deviated from their plan and cost himself that briefcase. And Christian says, we're all very proud of you. We all celebrated. In fact, your mother and I celebrated quite extensively the night of your title victory, which got a phenomenal reaction. And she went, oh, like that. Is this the first time outright that Christian has implied that he's banging Nick Wayne's mom?
I think it's the first time he's been so overt about it.
So overt about it. It's been implied.
I mean, this also was implied because they may have just been enjoying a lovely glass of champagne. You know what I mean? Possible. But it was definitely implied more so than any other time.
They were using the pure plank for hours.
Yes.
Is what they were doing. It's a phenomenal device. I have one over on the floor over here, actually.
Yes.
So they were getting down and dirty on the floor with the pure plank. But then Christian gave Nick Wayne the title belt and said, I love my family. Did you see this as a baby face-ish move? Because there were a lot of mixed signals here in between telling 19-year-old kid that he was banging his mom, but also being proud.
I think this is a way to manipulate, because Nick Wayne is getting closer and closer to breaking away.
Yes.
So you take something from them, withhold it, and give it back to them is the way a narcissist manipulates people into depending on them. Like, it's entirely in the character of what we've seen from Christian Cage in the patriarchy to take the belt from you and then give it back to you. Taking it from you the first time, Like, yeah, you better give it back to me. But the way they do is they make it seem like the act of giving back to you the thing they stole from you in the first place is this wonderful, magnanimous gesture of love. And that's what he was doing. And we'll see if Nick Wayne sees through it. I think that the real money is in Nick Wayne having enough of Christian's crap and the way that Christian talks about his mom and turning babyface on Christian. But I think that if that happens, that's far down the line, because we know for almost certainty we're doing Edge and Christian versus or Cope and Christian versus FTR. So I think that's got to come later if we're going to do that. But they may decide they want to turn Christian a little babyface-ish so he could team up with Cope, and then they'll make Nick Wayne the bad guy. But I think that kid's got a lot of babyface fire in him if they use him right. That moveset screams babyface to me.
I think he'll become a rebellious teenager and be obnoxious. And
it's very possible.
I don't want Christian to go babyface. I want
right.
babyface Cope, heel Christian.
Yeah, I know.
Because right now, what we're going to talk about shortly with FTR is very, very, very go ahead.
You've been pitching your Sting and Luger tag team since the first show I think I did with you in 2016. So yes, you want that real bad, and eventually you'll get it. I think this might
gotta happen.
This might be the time, honestly.
Yeah. Love for Boost says, "Hootie hoo, buckle up, knuckle two." another pro wrestling connection there. Literally, Scott Steiner's "Holler If You Hear Me" is from "I Got the Hookup." "Holler If You Hear Me."
That's right.
From Master P.
Yeah.
Here's a shocker. Mark Briscoe defeated Ricochet, which I love because they have Mark Briscoe lose like every singles match that he ever does on Dynamite. So you got to have him win sometimes. Now, Ricochet has moved from some pretty high profile feuds here to working with Mark Briscoe, who again is beloved, and then later Kevin Knight, which we will mention. But this match itself was a lot of fun, including a cameo from Professor Nick Harrison, who is also bald as hell.
Yes.
And Ricochet rolls out of the ring, and he's like, "They're talking about you. They're talking about you, and I won't stand for this." Ricochet is so entertaining, Al.
He's so good at this, and that's why I probably didn't love as much that he's losing still. I think that he lost that three-way for the title. He should be winning. He should win and win and win and win and win until he gets a title shot and then come up just short. Until he actually wins a title. I think that he's great. I think that the reason I'm not super upset about it is because, A, you're right. Mark's got to win at some point. Otherwise, why is he wrestling all the time? And B, because we're setting up for Ricochet to do something pretty dastardly, I think, to write Kevin Knight off of AEW so he can go and do Battle of the Super Juniors. Like, I feel like they're going to do something like, okay, they're going to have that match. Obviously, it'll be Kevin Knight versus, because he brings out the scissors. He's going to attack Mark with him, and here comes Kevin Knight, because he and Mark teamed together and helped each other become $100,000 richer. So it's basically like they're blood brothers. So it's a non-aggression pact. Basically, if you attack any of these guys who I won $100,000 with, like, there's a treaty that I signed where I have to back them up. And here comes Kevin Knight to do that. And he and Ricochet facing off. We get a little thing later where Ricochet gets involved in Kevin Knight's match. So that's going to be amazing. Like, Ricochet and Kevin Knight would be a really cool thing. I think Ricochet probably wins that to send Kevin Knight off to Japan for a bit. But when Kevin Knight gets back, that is an amazing, like, the greatest high flyer in the world from 2014 to pick a date he might still be, against the guy who's basically the next Ricochet. Like, if you look at the stuff he does, I don't think until I watched it with my own eyes, I didn't think it was possible for you to jump that high on a dropkick. I didn't think that was a thing the human body was capable of doing. So, yeah, I want to watch Ricochet versus Kevin Knight, please.
I would have Ricochet do something that really, really, like, looks like it hurts Kevin Knight pretty bad. And commentary even mentions at the recommendation of AEW doctors, he is taking some time off so he can show up and represent us healthy in this tournament. Mm-hmm. And then I would have him sell that a little bit, like at the beginning of that tournament, because he's probably not going to win it under the dual contract. But Kevin, you wondered how much TV time he was going to get when he signs, because how many times have we seen somebody not? He has got a ton of TV time, a ton of. It's done really well. And Mark Briscoe winning, like, woo, the crowd was there for it. They loved it. Mark Briscoe is so heavily used that, like, he's got to eventually win some of these. Like, and it's good, you know, he won the $400,000 match. That's really good, because I love the segments that emerge from that. Like, with Speedball Mike Bailey and Adam Cole peeking his head through and being like, that's so much money. I love that. I want that to spawn additional segments like Bum Ass Corbin, Happy Corbin, those types of things. Like, I would love to see it. If Bishop Dyer's literal AEW debut is ever in a $400,000 prize match and he only accepted it because that's his reputation of being after the money, I think that those have already established a fairly good track record of entertainment in that degree. I know that gentleman wants to work New Japan pretty bad, though, and I think it'd be a good fit for him. But, like, if you look back at Mark Briscoe on Dynamite in singles, like, it has just been, it feels like it's been him losing. He lost to Takeshita, Lashley, Shelton, Jericho. I know he won a couple, or he won one in the Continental Classic, I think against Brian Cage, maybe, but largely on Dynamite, I think he's.
Well, we beat Kyle Fletcher in the Continental Classic.
I think that was Collision, but I mean, like, on Dynamite.
Okay, on Dynamite, yes. No,
because sometimes Collision exists of a, like, a world of its own regarding wins there. You know what I mean? Like,
I guess I'll agree with you on there. But he wins way more often on Collision than he does on Dynamite. But he does get victories on Collision.
Yes, he does. He beat Max Caster earlier this month. Gosh, who else did he beat over there? He won a bunch of Continental Classic matches over there. He beat Garcia and Mortos as well. Yeah. But, like, on Dynamite, and there are a lot of people who just watch Dynamite, they were kind of conditioned to him losing. And Luis, no, he that was on Collision. Buddy, old pal. Oh, man. Alex, you know what?
Yeah. What?
Before we go to the segment that I'm excited to talk about, I'm going to show you guys something else I'm excited to talk about. NordVPN.
How many times have you seen it? A big-name wrestler gets hacked. They're trying to sell PlayStations or something on their Twitter. They need that NordVPN.com/Fightful. Not just for that, but all their sensitive files, their storyline information, their pitches, their private documents. You want NordVPN.com/Fightful to protect you when you're on the road or when you're at home. When you're at home, you can put it on your router. It protects everything. You can put it on your phone, laptop, desktop, PC. But on the road, whether you're at the hotel connecting to that Wi-Fi, the airport connecting to that Wi-Fi, the event center even, you want to have some protection for your devices, and NordVPN.com/Fightful does that. In addition, you shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourself on that public Wi-Fi, secure every device you own, and add extra layers of security to your digital life, in addition to all the great features we tell you about all the time. They also have 24/7 support if you need that help. NordVPN.com/Fightful.
We had a phenomenal segment. An absolutely phenomenal segment, in my estimation, that featured the return of Stokely Hathaway, who was taking some personal time off. And boy, did he come prepared for this. This was great. FTR had been suspended for putting their hands on Shivani. And Stokely watches the show, Alex. And as we have seen, Kevin Owens doing this very similar thing works out pretty well. Mm-hmm. And Stokely just simply watches the show. Mm-hmm. He talked about Hangman Page committing arson, swerve, breaking and entering, about Darby Allin doing any number of things. I can't really remember who he said, and he goes, do I even need to mention all the crimes? And he goes, because
yeah,
I'm going to.
That was Moxley. Yeah, it was Moxley. All of Moxley's committed acts of terrorism. But he obviously, Darby tried to set a man on fire. Like, there you go. That's all you got to say.
This is phenomenal. This is so good. Like, this is. I had never imagined Stokely with FTR. Mm-hmm. Because, like, generally, the FTR act, it has never quite needed a manager, but
like
there have been...
Dax cuts such great promos. You don't think of them needing a manager. Cash can talk, too, but Dax is a great promo. You don't think of guys who are great promos needing a manager, but Stokely adds a little bit of, like, stank to it that really sets the tone for just how heelish these guys are going to be. I like it.
And to me, like... Heyman with Punk, and now Heyman with Rollins. Like, there can be great benefits to having great managers with people who can already cut promos. I mean, it can work out really, really well. And this has added a fresh new element to FTR that really we had never seen. And Meet Norma says Stokely coming out with receipts was everything. But he was really delivering it. It was really good. And this is... When you see a promo like this, you go, yep, that's what they were missing when Stokely was taking that time off. And he is, again, he's a filthy heel as well.
Yes.
Beyond him being so eloquent and, again, coming with receipts, the guy is also willing to cheat. I mean, like, really.
Very, very much so, yes.
And then FTR point out the Rock and Roll Express ringside and beat the living shit out of them.
Well, the first thing that I love the troll job with Dax basically like talking, and they're very old and asking them questions if they remember all their matches from back in the day. And when Ricky got involved, did the new shirt say FTR?
Living Legend Killer.
All right, I didn't quite see the first word, but I was like, they're stealing Randy Orton's gimmick. This was great. Ricky Wharton taking that giant persistent pile driver. The guy's nuts. This is a really good way to get that heel act to get all kinds of heat leading up to the what we assume is the inevitable feud with Cope and Christian.
Yeah, I mean it was a natural thing to do. Rock and Roll Express can take that bump.
Sure.
They can go great with it. And you know that they're not going to listen. Ricky Morton is still so passionate about pro wrestling, right. That guy. This was one that you knew was going to work out really well. And I am fascinated about FTR with Stokely, like a wonderful introduction and a hot angle to do it as well. Whew.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. This was good stuff. Terry Allen Jr. says, I'm from New Orleans without the accent. Received Lil Romeo's 2001 album on my cousin's birthday when I was a child. Makes You Dance. It's a song I adore. I forgot that his son was also a rapper. I forgot all about that. The Young Bucks defeated Kevin Knight and Speedball thanks to Ricochet. Parker Hines says, forgot how good the Bucks are at wrestling. They have sort of hit that MJF territory of very often.
When you golf in Missouri, the courses are so close, you'll spend more time on the fairway than the freeway. Reserve a tee time at the Regal Osage National, designed by the king himself, Arnold Palmer. Take a cart ride on the wild side in the breathtaking surrounds of Payne's Valley, designed by Tiger Woods. And after the back nine, there's still world-class dining and distilleries, shops and spas, museums and more. Find your new golf MO in Missouri. Start planning your golf getaway at visitmo.com.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
People forget that they can wrestle. Mm-hmm. And that is something that I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, Alex. Don't know.
I mean, it's always nice to be reminded of something. Nobody should forget. This was an amazing tag team match. This was excellent. The false finishes, all the stuff, like, it was just tremendous. Big giant spots. Kevin, like, them doing the if one guy runs and jumps into the Meltzer driver, is that like a running Meltzer driver, or is the guy pie driving somebody also have to run? I'm not sure. But laying out Mike Bailey with that, and then Kevin Knight just saying, "I'm gonna fight you 2-on-1," until Ricochet got involved, I was like, Kevin Knight might actually do this. Like, he was doing great stuff. Ricochet gets involved and costs him the match. And there we go. Now we get into some more Kevin Knight and Ricochet stuff. But this was phenomenal. A really great way for the Young Bucks to show us. Oh, yeah, no, they're still around. They're still great. And also, both of them, especially Matt, got into fantastic shape while they were gone. Like, great shape. I mean, they were wrestling wearing vests because it was, you know, a heel thing to do, but also because they didn't look like this before. Now they look like this. Why are you wearing? They would never wear vests now, I'll tell you that much. Not with all the work they put in.
What'd you think of the match itself? I mean, it was obviously fast paced. How do you feel about the finish?
Like I said, I was a big fan of Kevin Knight getting to show out so much. Mm-hmm. Like I said, once they took out Mike Bailey, mm-hmm. Kevin Knight basically said, I'm going to take you guys on 2-on-1. And then the Ricochet was the only thing that stopped that from happening. I did like the finish, especially because, like I said, I think that is the potential for a tremendous rivalry between Ricochet, and Kevin Knight that gets paid off. That starts the payoff. Here. So
Valab says, "Is the most normal the Bucks have looked in years. Where were the beads and the pearls on Matthew? You're in New Orleans. Come on." Well, someone I figured that would lean into that culture, Toni Storm, had an interview, and she talked about wanting to put on a show this weekend in New Orleans. Uh-huh. And she wanted an eliminator match, and Queen Aminata quickly answered. Queen Aminata was camping out ready just in case. And listen, I love Queen Aminata. I'm excited for her to get this match.
Me too. She was starting something. She was on TV. She was winning matches on television. They were doing something, and then she got the hurt hand. I'm glad it wasn't serious, obviously, because what was that, about a month ago? So, like, she's back, and I'm glad about that. I think that her and Tony will have a great match. The Tony is presenting, I guess, the TCM or something, and presenting Empire, some science fiction film. Empire Strikes Back, and without us missing a beat, she says, "There's no empire big enough to strike this back." Like, she's just phenomenal. There's no character in the world who's ever been Tony Storm. Like, no, it's just, she's just the best.
She is fantastic. She's great. And again, I'm excited for Aminata to get this match as well.
Yeah.
Announced for Collision, Tony versus Aminata, Bandido versus Dralistico for the ROH title, Swerve versus Blake Christian, and Top Flight versus Crew, Texas Tornado. So some good stuff there. Nick Wayne, or actually Feeling Dreepy, says Nick Wayne having more self-respect as a champion than Luchasaurus did and refusing to let Christian pretend to be champion is a very good detail. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. They're adding little things to this that I think work really well.
They are.
Kai says, anyone who says Fightful is biased against any company is stupid. For example, I had it. Thank you, Luis. There we go. Now we got it back. For example, the way certain people in Fightful talked about Mania and how the SGS feel about Mania makes it clear every year. I hope that made sense. Long live Fightful and SGS. Listen, I am fair, if nothing else. Alex is not going to like WWE content, but
I like it when it's great. I just don't like it when I don't like it. Like there was the women's triple threat, the beginning of night two, I think might be the greatest women's triple threat I've ever seen. Like, yeah. I am super over the moon about Seth and Braun Breaker and Paul Heyman together. I think that's great. There's a bunch of other stuff on the show, particularly, I don't know, that match that Dwayne ruined by not showing up, like that I didn't like. But there are other stuff that I do like, you know, just. I'm honest.
Well, that's,
I'm honest with the
that's why he has his own review on Mondays on FightfulSelect.com, which today we broke some free agent news. We had all kinds of cool stuff up on Fightful Select. I did Q&As three straight days over there. The best, $5.99 a month in the business. We confirmed a TNA departure. We had details on how a lot of the WrestleMania matches changed. Just a whole lot of stuff. We had more on Joe Hendry and how that deal came together. Just a lot. $5.99 a month. Well worth it. Arduit says, sup, Alex and SRS. At work, so I'll be watching Dynamite later. Completely off topic, so I apologize. Some positivity I forgot to mention and celebrate on the hump. Didn't Brody Lee Jr. win his first match last weekend? That's amazing. Peace and love, y'all. He won the clusterfuck. He did.
He won the clusterfuck, yeah.
And speaking of FightfulSelect.com this weekend, I'm going to have the story on how that came together. I was able to get that scoop, and that's a lot awesome. Of people were very, very happy to see that. But yes, he did get a win this past weekend. Meet Normus says, hello, bruvs. Let's crank. Anarchy in the arena, blood and guts, or stadium stampede with Team Swerve versus Bucks and Death Riders. Why doesn't Marina wrestle more? I think her primary use is being the imposing figure and the like. Like, I think that that's worked really well for her. She's not the strongest in ring performer. She never has been, but she is very strong at this role. And when they do put her in the ring, I think they want to make sure it's in the appropriate position.
Right. I think was it you who compared her to Chyna?
Yes. Very DX? Similar.
Like she's the intimidation factor. You look at her and you go, man, I wonder if there's a thing we could do just occasionally when she just like, she needs to like get some aggression out on somebody. Mm-hmm. Like they find a local little guy, like, you know, like a little, like a 5'4" independent wrestler that she just wrecks, but a dude just wrecks him. And like puts him in an arm bar, like makes him tap out, like do something, like make her into this person who, because we always see her like just judo throwing security guards. You know what I mean? Like it would be interesting to see it in the context of a match. I don't know. Just an idea.
Yeah. I mean, I would like to see her win some squashes and stuff like that as well.
Yeah.
We have the Hurt Syndicate promo that is immediately interrupted by MJF, who is trying to get the thumbs ups, and Shelton gives him the thumbs up and says, just so you know, I didn't give you the thumbs up because of some broads and a watch. And a fan in the front row goes, well, maybe you should have. And this popped Bobby Lashley, which is why I enjoyed it. Because if you watch Bobby Lashley, he's like, I might have to go off script and give a thumbs up right now. He's like, I don't want that heat. But it's MJF pleading his case, and then he has a car arrive, which, by the way, he bag-tagged the guy that valeted the car as well. A very MJF thing to do. And he takes Bobby back to the car, and Bobby gives him the thumbs down and GTAs his car, just steals the car. Just
drives off with his car.
Steals
if you give me a thumbs up, you can have the car. And so he gets into the car, like tests out the leather seats, and then he gives him the thumbs down and drives away with it anyway.
I know somebody in my daily life that has sold Bobby Lashley a car. Mm-hmm. So this is not that far from the truth. because I was informed that Bobby owns a great number of vehicles.
Yeah, there's a lot of the like, I will give you a very expensive watch or a very expensive car. And like, these guys aren't poor. They can afford their own watches and cars. Yeah. Like, bribe them with something else. And I don't know what it is that if it eventually comes down to him getting Bobby Lashley to join him, it should be not something material, but something else, a different.
I disagree. I think it should be ketone IQ.
Okay.
Because listen, I mentioned how I cut my caffeine in half in the last 2 months, and you best believe I needed energy during WrestleMania week, but you know what I had? I had ketone IQ to help keep me dialed in. 3 straight days of Q&As. I did 2 2-hour shows. What am I, Alex Palowski? I did the SmackDown show. I did an hour and a half solo for Monday Night Raw. I did like 10 hours of podcasting over the weekend and took in the shows. Ketone IQ. Their founders are ex-Stanford engineers that landed a Department of Defense contract. It's high-performance energy, a clean shot of energy with no sugar or caffeine. But they did recently just launch Ketone IQ plus caffeine, which is 5 grams of ketones plus 100 milligrams of caffeine from green tea, and it tastes great. Before I get on my new Stairmaster and get that workout in, before I'm getting a run, before I'm going to Squared Circle Expo this week, I'm going to be taking my Ketone IQ. It makes me feel wonderful. Again, I always say helps keep me dialed in. I've mentioned in the past my battles with ADHD, and I don't use stimulants or anything like that. Don't use medication of that kind. I tried Ketone IQ, and it's as good at keeping me focused as anything that I've seen. Pro and Olympic athletes use this stuff. Top UFC stars use it, and you can use it. Save 30% off your first subscription order and receive a free 6-pack of Ketone IQ with ketone.com/Fightful. That's ketone.com/Fightful. It's good stuff too. And you know what? Bobby Lashley wasn't in the UFC, but he was a pretty successful MMA heavyweight. I think that could have helped him out a little bit.
Yeah.
And let's be real, physically, that guy needs all the help he can get.
Yeah, he does. He really does. He's let himself go recently.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sad. It's sad to watch people just past their physical peak, like
that's right.
Like Bobby Lashley. It's mm-hmm. It's unfortunate.
It is.
MJF hangs around, and Hangman Page has an interview, and they're going back and forth. And these are two guys that, you know, they quite frankly, for years they didn't interact. They had their little things, and they had their match. And they're at least keeping them tethered in some degree. Why do you think that is?
Well, I hope it's not because they're going to have MJF screw it with Hangman during his match with Kyle Fletcher. Because even
which happens
I
next week, yeah.
Yeah, it happens next week. Even, like, we... The matches we've gotten to see between Will Ospreay and Kyle Fletcher have been all fantastic. But I can say all because there have been enough of them that you can define the number of them by saying all of them. And I don't have we ever seen Will Ospreay versus Hangman? Like, that's a thing that when they announced the tournament, I immediately said I need that match in the finals. And I also said the things didn't feel like they ended between MJF and Hangman. I hope MJF doesn't cost Hangman this tournament so I don't get to see Will Ospreay. I said that weeks ago, and now they just, for seemingly no reason, brought MJF back into Hangman's orbit and had them be contentious with each other. And I was like, please don't ruin this for me. Don't ruin this for me. Obviously, you could, if Hangman loses to Will Ospreay, you can do MJF and Hangman 2 at Double or Nothing. That's fine with me. Just don't have it be because, like, Hangman didn't get past Fletcher. If Hangman loses to Ospreay, then you can see that match.
Right? I got no problem with MJF and Hangman again. That's what I want to make clear.
That was
love
great
the idea of that. Incredible. two of my favorite performers in AEW. It's just,
yes,
let's keep these clean in this tournament.
Yes,
please. And no, Ospreay and Hangman have never faced each other. And that's something that that I quite frankly want to see, as well as more super chats and humper chats from our lovely audience. We would greatly appreciate that. We have Josh Alexander and Takeshita defeating Ospreay and Brody King, thanks to Archer, and then Fletcher appeared as well. Hangman tried to make the save, but Roppongi Vice laid him out, and that's an interesting one. Like, Rocky Romero actually involved in something with some substance, it would seem, but like, everybody was getting involved in this, and you know, phenomenal in-ring at Josh Alexander and Takeshita teaming. I could think of far worse things than that, and I have long dreamed of this tag team division not being a step back, but what it used to be when you had Young Bucks and FTR and Omega and Hangman, a thing like where, no, this is the other world title right here. It's just the two guys hold these world titles.
Yeah. It's the thing with this is that when they had Omega and Hangman as the tag team, it never felt like it was two singles guys being tag champs. It felt like these guys were the tag team. They were the best tag team because they proved it with their in-ring work over and over again. And so, like, you could absolutely sell me on Kevin Knight and Mike Bailey as a full-time tag team for a while. They worked really, really well together. You could absolutely, part of the Callis family should be a tag team, an established duo. These guys worked together. Murder Machines was it for a bit. Brian Cage is hurt. But, like, Josh Alexander, we know, is a great tag guy. Him and Takeshita work really well together as well. Roppongi Vice, back together, heelish. They cut this great promo for social media. Both of them did. Trent was excellent in that. I really love the two of them back together for the forces of evil. That's great. We're getting all of these. FTR is now heel. Roppongi Vice back together in heel. You know, there are really interesting ways of putting the Hurt Business, who is nominally, I guess you would call, a tweener, but like, the people love watching them beat up guys. And there's no shortage of really fun, dangerous tag teams for the Hurt Business to go up against, that if you put the right oomph behind a push for any of those heel teams, they might be the ones to beat Hurt Syndicate. So I'm very excited about where this tag division goes. Loved watching Alexander and Takeshita work together. Brody King and Will Ospreay, who'd have thunk it, also work really well together.
Yes.
I have seen a lot of people who are very upset by Brody King taking loss after loss after loss. And I would say this. He does take a lot of losses.
Yes.
You have to put him down to pin him. Like, he kicks out of stuff he should not. And sometimes it takes three or four finishers to take him out. Like, the match with Takeshita, I'm surprised his skull was still intact after all the knees he took to the dome from a dude as big as Takeshita. But one wasn't going to keep him down. Not two. He had to do like the raging fire and then another knee. Like, tonight, they absolutely threw the kitchen sink at him to get him to get pinned for 3 seconds. So I agree. I would like to see him win some more matches. Maybe this is the thing we got to do, but a la Mark Briscoe. He's got to win one somewhere along the line. He did beat Lance Archer, I guess, a few weeks ago. But like, when they beat him, they don't beat it soft. He does not necessarily, he doesn't take one crossroads and lay down. He doesn't get put in a chokehold and tap out 6 seconds later. You actually have to kill this guy to beat him. Like, Brody King is a beast, and I love watching him wrestle.
Oh, he's fantastic. He is. James Zimmerman says, remember when Hangman won all that money and bought the Dark Order lawnmowers? More stuff like that. Yes. I think that the Speedball Mike Bailey videos that he's been doing since the 400,000 thing have really filled a gap that was left behind by being the Elite and all that. Because, I mean, being the elite helped a lot of people get very popular and helped a lot of people get noticed. Speaking of vlog stars, Fuego doing incredible work on the indies. And not only that, lost a masked match. And listen, my ass knew he was going to lose that match, Alex, because I met Fuego maskless last November. And like, listen, behind his back, a bunch of us are like, why is that guy wear a mask? Why is that? Like, listen,
yeah,
I am as straight gets, can't really judge dudes, but I can tell that dude shouldn't be wearing a mask, which means one thing. Now that the world knows that Fuego is a good looking indie wrestler, Joey Janela will date him very soon. That is the next step. So Megan Bain, watch out.
Good to know.
Jamie Hayter defeated Chris Statlander. They beat the shit out of each other.
They did.
And Eloquent says, ladies headlining AEW shows regularly. Good job, TK. And we get Mercedes versus Statlander at Double or Nothing for the Owen. Mercedes comes out and does the CEO dance and all that, but the face buster spot specifically, whew, the fall to the outside, then the 450 was a stiff one, a snug one. Yeah. I like this, man. I just like these two beating the hell out of each other. It's good TV.
Yeah. Oh, man. This was great. This was everything I wanted between Stat and Hayter, and absolutely you could have convinced me that either way. This was one of those matches where if Stat won, I would not be surprised, because we still need another Statlander versus Mercedes match, you know?
Yeah.
And like that's out there as well. Also, the way Tony Storm was talking up Statlander on all of her being on commentary, of, you know, like, what a woman, my God. Like it was felt like after Stat won the Owen, like that you would have months of Tony Storm cutting promos to Statlander's face about how can't wait to get on the ground and roll around with you. Like there was this this thing that she was doing that felt like they were planning a whole series of promos about Tony Storm lusting after wrestling Chris Statlander. But I love that Jamie won. Like, it felt bad the way she had to give up the title. She didn't vacate it, but she wrestled the last match she was going to be able to wrestle before she had to go away and get surgery. And her coming back, I think that they've done a really good job of showcasing her when they have, but it has been kind of like stop and start, or hasn't been quite very consistent. And her and Mercedes is going to be brilliant.
Yeah.
My only thing is, it's April 23rd, and it's Stat and Hayter versus Mercedes is happening on May 26th. Like there was time for more rounds of this tournament. We now already know who's in the finals, and now we got several weeks of, I guess, like random tag matches and tune-ups and promos and stuff when I really wanted the tournament to last a little longer to get to this point. But that's my only quibble, just because I wanted more women's wrestling, great women's wrestling,
for
main
sure.
eventing TV shows. Because I hope now that the tournament is over for the women, basically, that we're all the way up until the finals, there's no more tournament matches, that they don't just like slip back down into the 9:30 slot. You know what I mean? I want them to still be presented as being as important as they were during the tournament.
Before we go, guys, of course, leave a thumbs up, tap the bell for notifications, all that good stuff. But I want to send my condolences to the friends, the family, the fans of Steve Mongo McMichael, Hall of Fame football player. So glad that he got in before he passed away. He did lose his life today after a long battle with ALS. He wrestled for WCW for a number of years. I know a lot of our audience too young to know or remember any of what he did. I encourage you guys, check out. There was a 6-man tag, July 96. It was Flair, Benoit, and Mongo against Luger, Savage, Sting. He had a good match against the Steiner brothers in 97. There were a lot of like the war games he was involved in as well. A lot of fun. But one of my favorite moments of his was during the seventh inning stretch of a Cubs game, of which he sang "Take Me Out to the Ball Game." He completely buried Angel Hernandez, who was such a bad Major League Baseball umpire that MLB did a settlement to get him out of there. Mm-hmm. It's such a fun, hilarious moment. Yeah. And man, his commentary, I remember one time the Luchadors were wrestling and he goes, "If you don't like this, you're dumber than dirt." It was so like non-filtered. It was so funny. But I just want to send my love to all those that knew him, that adored him. And of course, man was responsible for a lot of big memories in football as well. One of the greats, but
yeah,
we do have a couple super chats before we wrap up. Meet Normus has needed a cold shower after the skirt steak. That's good stuff there.
That's good stuff.
And he says, "If y'all can't tell by my name, this match was for me. Let's have more women's matches on TV, TK." I agree. I mean, they've been doing much better.
Yeah.
Much better. SRS just signed Fuego's death warrant. Yeah. Listen, I would love that in GCW where Megan Vane is like, "Now that I know what you look like, you ain't taking my man."
Yeah. It's good stuff.
N. Simmons says, "So happy for Jamie winning. That top rope clothesline was amazing. Hope they have match of the night at Double or Nothing." I am so looking forward to that.
Man, Mercedes and Jamie are going to put together a great one. You rest assured, man. That thing's going to be great.
Alex, tell the people where they can find you.
You can find me on all the socials media over on at Alex Sour Graps. You can find me behind the paywall, Fightful Select, reviewing Raw. And whenever they do one of these PLEs and pay-per-views, I'm always back there as well with Miss Kate Fabe reviewing new NXT on Tuesday on the main show. We had a really fun review of Stand and Deliver this past weekend. And then Friday, it's the SmackDown after WrestleMania. Maybe some new debuts, maybe some returns. We'll see. And as always, we will be reviewing the first 2 hours of SmackDown while watching the third hour of SmackDown and talking about what we are all watching together. It's a lot of fun. So join us over there.
I am headed to Indianapolis, Indiana in about 36 hours. I will be at Squared Circle Expo. If you're there, please say hi. We did an interview with Ed, who promotes Squared Circle Expo on our channel recently. We've got interviews with Steve Macklin and Luke Hawks. And Luke Hawks has a lot of very cool experiences. I filmed this one when I was at WrestleCade, but he's been on Heels. He is famously known as the gentleman of which I think he was the first murder in an X-Men movie because he said that even when he filmed Wolverine's claws going through his chin and his brain, he's like, "That's getting cut. This is a PG-13 movie." Then they went, "Not no more, buddy." We got a lot of cool stories like that. But I just want to thank you guys. It's been an insane week, and I encourage you guys to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Until next time, my friends, we're out.